Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to Women Patriots. I know I've been off the air for a couple weeks if you were looking for me, but now actually out of the country in Canada on our family fishing trip. So just got back Sunday, and good to be back here and back home. Tonight I want to talk about, I've been trying to catch up in the media because I wasn't really paying any attention while we were on our fishing trip, but there is so much to talk about. But first of all, I'm going to start with, if you notice within the Democratic and the Liberals, that they always get their catchphrase going, and every one of them will repeat it. In fact, the Democratic senator who wants to hold hostage for the tax increase for those making over $200,000 has used it. And they use the phrase fair share. So I thought tonight we would kind of look at the definitions of what actually fair is and what share is, and kind of progress from there, because, and you know, I'm getting tired of hearing this fair share when talking about those making over $200,000 a year. And obviously, fair can mean pleasing to the eye, or, you know, superficially pleasing, or stormy, and all these other things. But we're more concerned with what it means in relationship to people paying taxes. And it's what fair means, and this is under the, I found this in the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, under number 6A, is marked by impartiality and honesty, free from self-interest, prejudice, or favoritism, a very fair person to do business with, conforming with the established rules, open to legitimate pursuit, attack, or ridicule. Okay, so here it says, fair means it's impartial. Fair means there's no favoritism shown. So this means that everybody does the same. You know, there's no partiality to one group over another, meaning that in this application, if you're making over 200,000, it shouldn't be any different than the person making 10,000. That's what fair means. And then let's look up what share means and put those together. Share and means, and I'm using this one is just a free dictionary, a part or portion belonging to, distributed to, contributed by, or owned by a person or a group. An equitable portion, which means an equal portion to do one's share of the work, or any of the equal parts into which the capital stock of a corporation or company is divided. So we see here equitable, we see equal, and we see contributed to by a group. Okay, so what is a fair share? And why do they keep using this in regards only to the wealthy people paying their fair share? Well, let's look at some numbers, because it's very important to look at numbers when you're talking about being fair. In our country, the top 1% of the money earners in our country pay 39% of the total government revenue. 1% is paying 39%. So that means the 99% are paying 61%. And that's not even true, because there's like 43% of the people don't pay any taxes. So, but 39% coming from 1% of the population, is that fair? Is it fair that they should have to pay nearly over a third of all the revenue to our government, the 1%, and we're asking them to pay more? Is that actually a fair share when some people pay zero taxes? And also, if you go, let's drop down to the 2%, the top 2%. These are the people making over $200,000 a year. They are paying 43% of the taxes that the government takes in. And yet they want to tax these people more and call it a fair share. Just looking at the definitions, it's wrong, because fair means proportionate. And it's not proportionate for 1 or 2% of this country to pay for the other 50% of this country, or even 58% of this country. And it's not fair for the 56% of the country who do pay taxes to pay for the 43% who don't pay taxes. You want to talk about fair share, then everybody needs to be contributing to the tax revenue. And this is accomplished, this can be accomplished with a flat tax or a fair tax, when you tax actually the goods purchased at the store, where everybody is contributing and not just the top 1 or 2% of the country basically running the country. And yet our president in the last few days has been bringing this up. This is class warfare. This is class warfare. And not just that, he's attacking businesses. Just the other day, and you won't hear this on the mainstream media, because they're not going to publish this on the mainstream media, because they want him reelected, because 80% of the media votes Democrat. Okay, that should be enough to scare you right there and let you know what's going on. But the other day he attacked small businesses and people with ambition and drive by saying they didn't start that business by themselves. They had help. And he was trying to insinuate that it was from the government. But if we look at examples in the past, say the Wright brothers, they didn't have help from the government to invent those planes. That was initiative, hard work, and personal interest in that. As any businessman will tell you, anybody opening a new business, they put in 24/7 and multiple hours a day to start a business. A lot of hard work, a lot of time, money, of their own, and risk involved. And yet the president belittled this yesterday, and I'm going to give you why. I know why. I mean, many people can't seem to understand, but I'm going to give it to you again. I've given it to you before, and I'm going to give it to you again. Some of you may know who Saul Alinsky is. Some of you may not. He was he wrote The Rules for Radical in 1971, okay? And he was a Marxist. Why is this important in this whole conversation that we're having today about fair share and the wealthy should pay more. Well, let me read it to you. One of the beliefs in the Marxist, beliefs is that the workers should rise up against the employer for more money, okay? He begins with his prime truth. This is a quote from the book. A Marxist begins with his prime truth that all evils, okay, they're calling this evils. All evils are caused by the exploitation of the proletariat, and the proletariat is actually the workers, by the capitalists. This is the Marxist prime truth. All evils, they call it evils, are caused by the exploitation of the worker by the capitalists. From this, he logically proceeds to the revolution to end capitalism, and then into the third stage of reorganization into a new social order of the dictatorship of the worker, and finally, the last stage, the political paradise of communism. Now, this is a quote from Saul Alinsky. Well, why is that important? You may ask, well, Obama was a student of Saul Alinsky. In fact, Obama received a letter from David Alinsky, who was the son of the neo-Marxist Saul Alinsky, that says, I quote, "Obama learned his lesson well. I am proud to see that my father's model for organizing is being applied successfully beyond local community organizing to affect the Democratic campaign in 2008. It is a fine tribute to Saul Alinsky as we approach his 100th birthday." Well, okay. So there we have Saul Alinsky's son. You may say, so what? Well, let's dig a little deeper, because then we go back into Chicago, where what did Obama work as? A community organizer. What does Saul Alinsky in his book call the leaders of this revolution? You got it. Community organizers. Not only that, but Obama helped fund the Alinsky Academy through the Woods Fund, which is a nonprofit on which Obama served as paid director from 1999 to 2002, and provided startup funding and later capital to the Midwest Academy. Obama sat on the Woods Fund board alongside William Ayers. Remember this name, William Ayers, part of the underground, responsible for revolution and bombing of police back in the 60s or 70s, I don't remember when. Anyway, he's the founder of the Weather Underground domestic terrorist organization. Midwest describes itself as one of the nation's oldest and best-known schools for community organizations, citizen organizations, and individuals committed to progressive social change. Midwest teaches Alinsky tactics of community organization. Now, if we look at what Obama is doing, he's out there talking down the business owner. He's out there demanding that the rich pay their fair share of taxes. Let's apply that to what I just read. It's classical Marxism socialism, and he's trying to stir up the anger. Because if you go on and read more about this, and I'm going to post this link for anybody out there who's not seen this. This is a great summary article for the book. You know, I do have the book, and I have read the book. It's pretty scary. It's a book dedicated to Lucifer. But I'm going to post this here because you need to be reading this stuff. We need to be aware of what's going on. And he just fits right in to what everything that Saul Alinsky described. And what Saul Alinsky was saying is that it doesn't work to get in their face and call them names and cuss them out and bomb them, because this irritates people and makes them push back. But you kind of infiltrate the areas where you gain control of the access of, say, the media, schools, churches, judges, and all manners of authority. And you may say, well, wow, she's really out there. But I take you back, and there's another book out, and I mentioned this before, and I know Danny's listening, and he's heard this before. There was a book called The Naked Communists, which was written in 1958. And in this book, there was a list that came out from behind the Iron Curtain with an agenda. And these were the communist agenda, and these goals were actually entered into the congressional record. By Albert Herlong Jr. He served in Congress from 49 to 69, entered into the congressional record in 1963. And I'm going to read some of this list because it also pertains to what we've been talking about, again, about this fair share and the businesses need to pay more and et cetera, et cetera, and the use of the unions against to push their agenda. Anyway, let me read some of this to you. I'm going to read this one just because we're paying $3 billion in aid to Egypt, and I don't know if you all saw on the news where they were throwing tomatoes and shoes at Hillary Clinton's car because the Muslim Brotherhood has taken over there, and the Muslim Brotherhood hates America. And that one of the things on this list was that America would provide aid to all nations regardless of their communist domination. You know, in this case, it's not communist, but it is Muslim, and it's radical Islam. And also recognition of Red China and admitting Red China to the UN. I want to get to, though, here's number 11, and this is happening. We've seen this with the small arms treaty, and they're trying to push through another thing through the United Nations about children with disability. Promote the UN as the only hope for mankind. And if you notice, our president has deferred to the United Nations and NATO, say, as in Libya. He didn't take the lead as America should have, as this country demands, as the leader of the free world. No, he left it to the United Nations and NATO. And he's doing the same thing in Syria, where we now have a full-blown civil war after the massive killing of innocents. But they want the charter rewritten and demand that the UN be set up as the one world government with its own independent armed forces. And they do have their own armed guards as of this time. Okay. Do away with loyalty oaths. The Pledge of Allegiance, anybody? Anybody want to go with that one? And here we go. 15, capture one or both of the political parties in the United States. Now, I know that Alan West has taken a lot of flack for saying there's members of the Communist Party in the government. But if you read this list, and I posted it for you, I'll post that one also for you to go, he's right. In fact, in September of 2010, go look it up on the internet, the Communist Party sued the Democratic Party for taking their platform. Okay, so Alan West is right. McCarthy was right. Because this list was written in 1958. Capture one or both of the political parties in the United States. 16, use technical decisions of the courts to weaken basic American institutions by claiming their activities violate civil rights. Pledge of Allegiance, anyone? Prayer in schools, anyone? Oh, we got a lot out of that one. Number 17 on this list is get control of the schools and use them as transmission belts for socialism. Anybody seeing their kids come home talking about this stuff? I have. Soften the curriculum. It means dumb it down. Get control of the teachers' associations and put the party line in textbooks. Use student riots to format public protests against programs or organizations. Okay, and we've seen this with Occupy Wall Street. Infiltrate the press. Infiltrate the press. Has anybody really seen any reporting on the Fast and Furious and the illegalities of that went on and the lack of taking responsibility in that situation and the lack of transparency in that situation where the president claimed executive privileges for his attorney general to cover his butt in that situation? Anyway, You don't see that reported in the press, but we're hearing all about Bain Capital and supposedly something that would be a felony that Romney did, which he didn't do, has been proven to be not true. But the press is all over that, reporting that all over the place. But all the bad things, the jobs report that just came out, you're not hearing that in the press because they have an agenda. Gain control of key positions in radio, TV, and motion pictures. Where is our most liberal population? Hollywood. Wow. But yeah, so you can see where I'm going with this. Infiltrate the churches is number 27. Replace revealed religion with social religion. Discredit the Bible. Emphasize the need for intellectual maturity, which does not need a religious crutch. Present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy. Break down cultural standards or morality. See, they have to do this because unless I can get people to think that everything is okay and we should just let everyone do as they please, they can never take down America. And they want to discredit the founding fathers and discredit the American Constitution by calling it inadequate, old-fashioned, out of step with modern needs, and a hindrance to cooperation between nations on a worldwide basis. One world order. It's a very, very, very scary, very, very scary list. But we need to be scared, and we need to be reading this, because if we don't, and I know there's a lot of people out there thinking of voting third party, and I want to tell you, this is not the time. This is not the year to be voting that third party. You want to make a statement, do it after the presidential election, because the very heart of America is at stake in this election. And just from the president's own mouth and his own words, pushing and the Democratic Party pushing this fair share and this war on class warfare about how, you know, oh, the rich have to pay more. And yet, if you tax those corporations more, we're going to lose more jobs. Our economy is horrible right now. Horrible. And it's not going to get better. Not going to get better. You cannot have the highest corporate tax rate in the world and create jobs. It's just not going to happen. And so, what they want to call the Republicans favoring the rich is the Republicans being capitalists is what and what this our founding fathers envisioned when they wrote the Constitution and when they founded this country and when they fought for their freedoms from the controlling power of the government in England. So if anybody wants to call in, our number is 718-305-7176. Happy to take calls, happy to, we go off subject sometimes here too, but I just kind of had to get that out of the way because this bit about fair share and this bit about business owners owing more because they have that business, they paid taxes, just like you and I, and just, they paid their taxes already. They already paid their fair share. What they want them to do is pay more than their fair share. They want them to pay extra because they've worked harder or they paid for their schooling and they had that initiative to go out and start that business. You know, this is America where we all should be able to dream to do what we whatever we want to in this world. And we all should have the availability of the jobs to do that. And it will never happen with a bigger government as such as this administration is pushing. As we can see in Greece, we can see it in Spain, we can see it in Europe. It doesn't work. It will not work, and it doesn't work. And America is going to go right down that same path. But anyway, so that's my little rampage for tonight. So if you have anything you want to add to that, feel free to call in, and like I said, we can talk. But, you know, some other things going on in the news that we need to talk about is these flash mobs that have been going on where Black youth in two different, one in Jacksonville, Florida, and also in Oregon. They went into these Walmart stores and started throwing things around and stealing things and just terrorizing the store. Now, this is wrong. This is vehemently wrong. And yet, where is the president on this and telling these people to behave and respect the stores and respect other people's property? This is something that is lacking in the leadership. And yet, who was the first one to come out in the Trayvon Martin case and try to say, well, this is what my son would look like, you know, if I had a son? And the president was right there trying to stir up the racial tensions. But when these these acts of home terrorism, I mean, what do you call it when 300 people run into a store as a mob and just steal and start throwing things? And yet there's nothing coming out of the White House. There's nothing coming out of our president on this situation. Because, see, that plays into his hand. He wants to create the disruption. He wants to be able to actually create a martial law situation where he can call in the troops to suppress the rights of the American citizens. And that's why I believe this is, like Rick Santorum would say, this is one of the most important elections ever in our lifetime. Because, as our founding fathers have said, America will only fall from within. It won't be from the outside. And what we're seeing right now is people trying to fundamentally change America. In other words, fundamentally destroy our capitalist society. And this is not the election. Yeah, sure, I'm going to go out there and I'm voting for, and actually I did in the primaries, I voted for Richard Murdoch here in Indiana, who beat out Senator Lugar, who had been in Washington for 36 years and was a proponent of, you know, oh, we got to get along, we got to work with the other party. Well, that's not working for me anymore, because if you will notice, the Democrats will take and take and take and take, and then they'll turn around like vicious sharks and attack. And this is what they did in the 2008 crash, because the Democrats were more responsible for that than the Republicans, and yet they attacked. And the American people fall right in line because nobody reports on the true facts behind the situation. And so it's pretty scary. This is not the time to be making a statement that we, the base of the Republican Party, are sick of the establishment as far as the presidential candidate is concerned. We can do that in other ways, like I said, by going with the Tea Party. Let's get the Congress into a conservative mode. Let's get the Congress broken up. Let's get the corruption cycle broken. Let's get some new people, get new blood in there. Let's vote for the new people. Let's get some term limits going. And let's get this president out of office who is bent on destroying our country and our freedoms and on destabilizing the Middle East. Because if you noticed, over in the Middle East, since he has become president, Egypt is now under the rule of the Muslim Brotherhood, which is a Islamic extreme fraction. And Syria could, this is why we're not arming anybody in there, because we don't know. But in Libya also, there was portions of the Muslim Brotherhood in Libya. And if they get control of the Middle East, we are in big trouble. And yet, the Obama administration, this new president of Egypt, has called for the release of a terrorist who was involved in the 1993 bombings of the World Trade Center, and they want him released. And yet, our president has invited him to the White House. Here's a leader who has said that, you know, no, we want our terror, I'm going to work on getting this man released, this man who actually committed acts of terror against the United States. He's going to gain his freedom, which tells me that he is for the terrorists against the United States. And yet our president is going to host him in the White House. Our president and our Secretary of State went into Afghanistan and they initiated talks with the Taliban, who are the terrorists, who are killing our troops. And all the while they're doing these talks, they're attacking our troops and killing our men who are over there trying to do a duty and not being fully backed by our current administration, the commander-in-chief. Because I'm sorry, you don't apologize for the mistake of burning a book. And how many servicemen died? Six. I believe six of our servicemen died because of that. And we got no apologies. And yet, when he calls Mitt Romney a felon, which is what he did when he was talking about Bain Capital, there's no apology forthcoming from that when he's proven wrong. There's no apology to Israel. There's no apology to Pakistan when we've killed some of their servicemen with our drones. But, oh, for burning the Quran, there's apology. Ask yourselves why. Ask yourself why, because that's an important question. You know, a lot of people want to say that our president is a nice guy, and you think he just doesn't know any better, that he's not out to destroy this country. And to those people, I say, do your research. Read his book when he talks about Frank Marshall Davis. Frank Marshall Davis was a member, he was his mentor, and a member of the Communist Party. This is Obama's mentor in his own words. Look at the Reverend Wright. And I know they tried to belittle this, but you can't belittle this. You sit in the church for 23 years and you listen to this man and call him a mentor. Listen to it and figure out what this man was all about. Look up Saul Alinsky, read about Saul Alinsky, and know the truth of what is going on and where Obama's philosophies are coming from. Because he didn't get this way overnight. This is who he is and what he is. And there is so much evidence out there to support the fact that he knows exactly what he's doing. He's using the Alinsky tactics that he was taught and that he believes is the way. It's like, here's another quote from the book. Because, you know, he's constantly, if you go back and you look at clips, you know, you look at clips of what he said, oh, say in 2009 and what he says today, and they're absolutely, totally the opposite. And I know you might say that applies to Mitt Romney too, and it very possibly it does. I'm not the biggest Romney fan. Like I said, I was a Rick Santorum supporter, but I do love my country, and I will vote to get out the man that I know who does not. But in this, the purpose, you know, it talks about the purpose. An organizer's purpose is working in and for an open society is in an ideological dilemma to begin with. He does not have a fixed truth. So he doesn't have a fixed truth. The president doesn't have a fixed truth. Truth to him is relative and changing. Everything to him is relative and changing. To the extent that he is free from the shackles of dogma and he can respond to the realities of the widely different situations. So basically, he can do whatever he needs to do in order to bring about the kind of change that he wants to bring about. You can see this in the president's actions. You can see it in his words. You can see it multiple examples of where he's done these exact things. Again, Saul Alinsky, not based on the Stalin revolutionary violence, but by the neo-Marxist, the new Marxist of Antonio Gramsci, which is an Italian communist. And it relies on gradualism, infiltration, and dialectic process rather than a bloody revolution. In other words, America has been under attack from within for probably the last 30 years. And this has been Roe versus Wade because we devalue life. This has been the gay promiscuity and gay marriage debate, the technicalities that are talked about on the list. But it's been subtly, and it's come about subtly, just small changes at a time. And where did we get this stuff first? Where does it come from first? You know, back in, when I was a child, you watched I Love Lucy and the married couples, or you watched the Dick Van Dyke Show and married couples slept in separate beds. And yet, slowly, that has changed until today. What do we see on TV? Is it sometimes not even fit to turn on if you have a child in the house because of the things going on the TV and the lack of promotion of moral values in Hollywood and TV and even just all around us and what we see. And, again, Gramsci says that instead, Gramsci aroused Stalin's wrath by suggesting that Lenin's revolution plan wouldn't work in the West, because instead the primary assault would be on the biblical absolutes and Christian values. Why? Because this must be crushed as a social force before the new face of communism could rise and flourish. And Malachi Martin gave a progress report in 1985. The influence of traditional Christian philosophy in the West was weak and negligible. And Gramsci's master strategy was now feasible. And we're talking about Italy. Humanly speaking, it was no longer too tall an order to strip large majorities of men and women in the West of those last vestiges that remained to them of Christianity's transcendent God. Scary stuff. Really scary, scary stuff. So if anybody's listening out there and wants to call in, our number is 718-305-7176. I'd be happy to chat, talk about anything that's on your mind. Even if you have a different opinion, I have... we'll take your calls and we'll discuss it, hopefully in a rationally way. I know the big topic of interest now is who do we think is going to be the vice presidential candidate? And I honestly don't know. I have my own favorite, and because I feel like a lot of the right, the Christian right, is not going to vote for Mitt Romney, pretty much no matter what he does. Just from discussions I've seen or had with them on Facebook or another, this bothers me some, because I am very scared for our country, and I don't think this is the time to be trying to make that statement. I think in 2015 would be the time. 2014. Sorry, we were written in 2012, but 2014 would be the time, and between this year and 2014 would be time to organize, to bring that third party into play, and being the more conservative Tea Party, right-wing conservative party, constitutional party, but not in this election, when the very heart of our country, the Constitution, is at stake, the Supreme Court justices are at stake. And we just recently had a ruling that was legislation from a bench, because they changed the wording of the law to make it a tax. That is legislating from the bench, which is not constitutional. And we are in a very, very sorry state. And we certainly do not want to have more of those individuals on our Supreme Court, which is also at stake in this upcoming election. So, just different things that we have to consider as we go into this November. I myself was not going to actively campaign for Romney, because, like I said, he's not my choice, and I don't really know what I can say that's good about him. What I can say about him is I think he's a patriotic American, and I don't think has any other agenda for America other than to help create jobs. And I know he's a career politician. He's always been a career politician. But I'll take the career politician over the Marxist communist any day, because at least he's not out for an agenda that is contradictory to the philosophy of capitalism. But I thought it was interesting, because they're trying to get Romney on his money and on his tax returns. But this has all been set up. And if you're not paying attention, I knew this from day one when the Occupy Wall Street. Who actually backed Occupy Wall Street? Excuse me a moment. That was the Democratic Party. Barack Obama, our president, has he went right up there and was saying it was a good thing. Yeah, these people littering in the park and rapes and drug use and all this going on. But, oh, this is a good thing, because they were against the 1%. Okay, and this happened back where? Last fall. This was the setup to the run against Romney. And yet, the establishment of the Republican Party. Well, of course, the liberal media wanted Romney, so they would do everything they could to tear down the candidate. And Fox News, even though they're not so liberal, they were involved in this too, because they wanted Romney as a nominee. But the play-up was the 1%. Well, we all know that Romney's part of the 1%. Played right into their hands. Played right into the hands of the Democratic Party by making him the nominee. Because they tried to work up this furor against the rich and the wealthy and the 1%. And now the Republicans, oh, they love the wealthy. See, they put this wealthy 1%er in. And he wants to cut taxes for his fellow businessmen. You know, instead of telling the truth that the rich man creates the jobs for the poor people. And if you want jobs, you've got to be competitive, especially if we're competing on a global basis, as we are now with China and Mexico and everywhere, all over the world. You can't have the highest corporate tax rate in the world and expect your businesses to operate here. You know, not when you're having to pay higher salaries, which I don't think is a bad thing. You know, I don't think higher salaries are a bad thing. I don't think our way of life is a bad thing. But if you also notice that since this president has taken office, the gap between the wealthy and the poor has gotten bigger. And part of that is the illegal immigrants, because they're very poor and they don't have any money. And they're on the welfare rolls because, you know, they have that anchor baby, and then they get money for their child from the government that you and I are paying. You and I, taxpayer money. Okay? When we talk about the government, we're talking about taxpayer money. We're talking about money that you and I have earned and have paid to the government. We're talking about people working, supposedly working for us. And our Constitution was not set up for the federal government to have all power and all control. It was set up for the power to be at the state level. So Indiana was having to have its own state level, as was, you know, Arizona. And yet, what do we have? We have the attorney general suing the states. And this should not be happening because, you know what? Well, number one, they're using my money, your money, to sue the states who are trying to protect themselves, which is constitutional. I don't care what the Supreme Court says. The state in the Constitution has the right to protect itself from invasion, which Arizona was trying to do. Protect itself from invasion. They're being invaded by illegal immigrants from Mexico, and they have the right under the Constitution to protect themselves against that. And yet, what did our Supreme Court do? What did our president do? They sued. Although the Supreme Court did lecture them, or gave them the lecture, that they need to be enforcing the federal laws. They're not enforcing the federal laws. In fact, there was, I believe, $517 billion spent on illegal immigrants in aid from the government. Now, I'm sorry. I'm a very caring person, and most people who know me would tell you that. I'll be the first to want to help out. I do contribute to a lot of charities and organizations and volunteer my time. But I'm sorry, if you're an illegal immigrant, you should not be getting money from the federal government of the United States of America. If you are a citizen of Mexico and not a citizen of the United States, if you are a citizen of Iran, if you're a citizen of China or wherever it is you came from, if you didn't come here, if you're not here legally, you have no right to my money, especially when there are Americans that are struggling and Americans who need health care, true American-born citizens that need care, who are being neglected because there's no money, because our system has been overwhelmed by the illegal immigrants who do not belong in this country as and certainly not on our payroll taxes or on our Medicaid and Medicare programs. And it's happening. Look it up for yourself. Don't take my word for it, because, you know, anybody can distort the facts, and they do it routinely in the media. They do it routinely in the campaigns. Go in and look for yourself and look through the various, you know, you got to take some things with a grain of salt, because you'll find extremes on the right and extremes on the left, and you kind of got to get to the bottom of it and kind of read behind the words to get to the truth and get to the facts of the situation and make your own opinion. A lot of people say, oh, you're just like Rush Limbaugh, or you're just like, I don't listen to those people. My opinions are my own. I form them on my own. And it's because it's my core belief. It's what I believe. It's what I've read. It's what I've researched for myself. Where my thoughts come from. But it was kind of funny because I was listening to Fox News and they were talking about the same thing I was going to talk about tonight on my show about the president and his comment on the businesses the business owners didn't build their own business, and the same kind of things that we're talking about here about how he's against the business. And anytime you want to tax the businesses, you are hurting the businesses, and you are making it much more difficult for them to perform their functions. And in fact, I read today where a couple of smaller businesses, because of the Obamacare, which is a tax, people, a big tax on the middle class, not just the wealthy, it's on the middle class, it's a tax. And on business, it's a tax, Obamacare, as ruled by the Supreme Court, ruled it a tax. So this man has increased our taxes. I don't know about you, but I have higher co-pays. I know a lot of people pay more premium costs for their health care insurance, and it's all because of Obamacare. And it's going to get worse because doctors are going to quit because the government's not going to they're not going to get reimbursed on a level compensating them for their time, efforts, or their actual out-of-pocket cost. And it's a scary thing that's coming with this Obamacare if we don't get it repealed or defunded in some sort of way. But it is a tax, and it's a tax on the middle class, which Obama said there weren't going to be any taxes on the middle class. But he didn't want to call it a tax. He wanted to call it a mandate. See, because by calling it a mandate, it's not a tax. That's how they do things. You know, it's a fee. It's not a tax. Well, a fee and a mandate are all a tax. Whatever they call it by, if they're taking money out of your pocket to pay for something, it is a tax. So those are, and again, this is an attack on those who work hard, those who have looked out to protect themselves. Because even when, at one point, I was a single mother, and of course, insurance was cheaper then, but I never let my insurance lapse on my children because that was important to me, that I had that insurance in case they needed to go to the doctor or they needed to, get help. I always had that insurance on the children because that was my priority. My priority wasn't, the house or the car or, we lived in apartments, whatever. Fortunately, I was able to support myself because I went to school and I got a job as a nurse. And so I was able to make money and support myself as a single mother. Obviously, it's much easier, with two parents at home because of schedules and getting kids here and there and money reasons and that. It's easier. It can be done as a single parent. I was doing it. I did it for several years. But it's easier. But it comes down to priorities. But because I've worked and I've paid in and I've kept my insurance up, and yet I'm expected to pay more under Obamacare, or I may even lose my insurance because a lot of companies may just drop the insurance that they pay for people because it will be cheaper for them to pay the penalty. I may lose my health insurance because of Obamacare. And so what is that saying? What does that say to people that says, well, what are you working for? So why don't we all just go and rely on the government? And that's what he's pushing for, is government control of everything in all of our lives. And then we're going to end up in a situation that is either a total communistic rule, where a few rule the masses. And it's a sad state of affairs in America. I'm going to play a little song that I like by Alan Jackson just to take a little break here, get a drink of water before we go on with the second half of the show. And this is just a song about the little man. Talks about the little towns. I know as a lot of you drive through and you see the abandoned buildings and the boarded up windows, it's pretty sad, sad to see. And this is a song written several years ago by Alan Jackson. So here it comes. Maybe. if I can get it to work. My button is not clicking.
So a while back, I just needed to get away, and I got in my car one day. It just started heading south. I didn't know where I was going. I just stopped, picked up an atlas so I wouldn't get lost. But I didn't go back to my hometown, and but I went in that direction and through a lot of old areas that I'd traveled through, I guess in search of something, in search of a simpler time in my life or whatever. But I went through a lot of small towns that reminded me of where I was raised and places I'd come from. And it was sad because I realized how much they had changed since I'd been back in those areas. And a lot of places were sad because a lot of them seemed dried up. You know, it was like a lot of the small town businesses and the mom and pop stores and the independence of some of the people who had actually built those towns because of that. They were having trouble staying alive, staying in business because of all the big chains coming in, everything that takes over these days. And I think it's a very colorful and important part of American history, and I hate to see it going away, and I hope it doesn't. And I just wanted to write this song about it, and we made this video in an attempt to recapture some of those scenes and feelings that inspired the song about the little man.
I remember walking round the court square sidewalks, looking in windows, things I couldn't want. There's Johnson's Hardware and Morgan's Jewelry and the old Lee King's Apothecary. They were the little man, the little man. I go back now, the stores are empty, except an old Coke sign dated 1950. Poured it up like they never existed, or renovated and called historic districts. There goes the little man, there goes the little man. Now the court square's just a set of streets that people go around, but they seldom think about the little man that built this town before the big money shut him down and killed the little man. Oh, the little man. He pumped your gas and he cleaned your glass. One cold rainy night he fixed your flat. A new store came where you do it yourself. You buy a lotto ticket and food off the shelf. Forget the little man, forget about that little man. He hung on there for a few more years. He couldn't sell Slurpees, he wouldn't sell beer. Now the bank rents a station to a man down the road, and they sell Velvet Elvis secondhand clothes. There goes the little man, there goes another little man. Now the court square's just a set of streets that people go around, but they seldom think about the little man that built this town before the big money shut him down and killed the little man. Oh, the little man. Concrete strip, you can buy the whole world in just one trip. You save a penny cause it's jumbo size. They don't even realize they're killing the little man. Oh, the little man. Now the court square's just a set of streets that people go around. long ago when I was a child. An old black man came, his mule and his plow. He broke the ground where we grew our garden, back before we'd all forgotten about the little man. The little man, long live the little man, God bless the little man.
Just one of my favorite songs, talks about, you know, the slow deterioration of what actually built America, which was the little man. And speaks powerful song about driving around the countryside and seeing all the closed shops and how sad that is. From Alan Jackson once again. So, but if anybody out there wants to talk, please give a call at 718-305-7176. We're just chatting about issues of today. Today we were talking about what fair share would actually mean, and it wouldn't mean that the top 1 or 2% pay 40-something percent of all the taxes paid in this country. And it would mean that everybody contributes, including those who pay no taxes and who are here illegally, even though they should not be. And they certainly wouldn't be receiving $517 billion a year from our government. We are in a crisis situation. We're $16 trillion in debt. And yet $517 billion goes to illegal immigrants who have had anchor babies, and some of them maybe even not anchor babies, just they're receiving money from the government or from the states. And yet they want to scare the elderly and say, oh, well, we're not going to give you your Social Security checks. It's pretty kind of a sad situation. And then we have what's going on in the Middle East, which is even scarier because, you know, right now we've got Egypt under the Muslim Brotherhood rule, and we have Libya, and we have the situation in Iran where our administration is not taking the hard line with Iran. And has actually been holding Israel back from and doing what needs to be done by not actively supporting them, with the mistaken idea that if somehow this will make the extreme Islamic people hate us less, and that's not happening. We're paying $3 billion to Egypt, and yet when our Secretary of State was just there, they're throwing tomatoes and shoes at her car. Very disrespectful. We, in fact, told the military to step down in Egypt and let the Muslim Brotherhood take the lead. And yet, we do nothing. And he's weakened us overseas. He's weakened our standing in the world, even though he says he's made it stronger and that we're more well-liked, which is not true. And we really need to make some changes with that. So I'd like to go a little bit off, and we're going to go. I know it's been really, really, really hot here in Indiana. I don't know where y'all are, but we have a drought going on with not much water, high temperatures in the 90s to 100. And we need to talk a little bit about health and safety issues, because if you're out and about in this kind of weather, the elderly or the very young children or those with the immune systems that are not strong need to limit your time outdoors, especially when they give the ozone warnings like they did today here in Indiana and Fort Wayne. Limit your time outdoors. You need to be drinking plenty of water to prevent dehydration. Even if you're in the water, if you're swimming or in the pool, you need to make sure you're getting out for drinks and taking those drink breaks. And you also need to make sure that you're sunscreening. As we all know, even if you don't burn, use your sunscreen, because the sun's rays can cause cancerous changes to moles, to skin, and various other areas. So you should always use a sunscreen of 15 or higher when you're going to be out in the sun. It's just good practice for your health and for your safety. And you should also be drinking plenty of water. So that's my little health tip for today for anybody who's being out in the outdoors, or if you're working in the outdoors. We know that some people, you know, have jobs out there in the outdoors. So if that is the case, then you need to make sure you're taking care of yourself and your health. So, and then it's interesting because here's another little blast. Obama, in his speech, said that Romney's job plan would create 800,000 jobs, but they would be overseas jobs, because he's blasting him for outsourcing his work. The work, when he was just even CEO, he wasn't even actually involved. They were outsourcing jobs to other countries, and yet then he supports General Electric, which outsources over half of its jobs. Most of its employees are now outside of the United States, and they don't pay taxes here. Perfectly legal under the current tax code, which needs to be revised, as we all know. But then we had a report coming out today, and of course the White House is blasting the study. It's critical of Obama's tax plan. But the study actually shows that if they go ahead and implement this tax plan on the wealthy, supposedly wealthy in this country, that we will actually lose 710,000 jobs if they don't extend the Bush tax cuts. And yet they're blasting this as being a false jobs report. And then he tried to say that his report on Romney was an independent study, and yet the man that actually did the report has made donations to Obama and to the Democratic Party. So again, when you're looking up stuff and when you're researching online, maybe you need to go back and see, oh, who wrote this and where did it come from, just to make sure that you're getting the full story and not just a partial story. So, and then we have the price of gasoline going up because of this incident that happened in the straits where they fired on a boat that was apparently acting aggressively. And of course the fishermen say they weren't being aggressive, but you know, that's the he said she said thing. But safety first, and as far as I'm concerned, when our men and women are overseas, they need to protect themselves. It was such a boat as this that was responsible for killing 17 sailors on the USS Cole over in Yemen, that approached the boat and blew a hole in the side. So this is why the laws have changed to allow them to fire on these boats. And if we're going to be over there, then we need to allow our men and women to protect themselves. We've also got a defector from Syria saying that Al-Assad will use chemical weapons on the people of Syria. The battle is raging in Damascus, which before it was always on the outskirts, but the rebels are now in Damascus near the palace. It's just something to keep an eye on. As we know, Syria is backed by Russia, as is Iran, and Iran backs Syria, and Syria backs Iran. And those are, as we all know, they have extreme Islamic philosophies in Iran, and very anti-capitalist, and have vowed to wipe Israel and the United States off the face of the earth, and so they cannot be allowed to achieve nuclear weapons. Oh, and well, here's some good news. It says in Libya, at least, there's some good news. A moderate Islamic coalition led by wartime Prime Minister Mohamed Jibril beat Islamic rivals in Libya's landmark elections on Tuesday, but not yet clear who would dominate the new assembly on all sides scramble to independence. The political ring of the Muslim Brotherhood won just 17 of those seats in July 7th. So maybe some good things in Libya. Hopefully we need all the help that we can get. And we also need rain. So anybody who's out there listening who is Christian or any faith that says prayers, you can say some prayers for some rain in this country. Although, you know, I think what's going to happen is we're going to, food prices are going to go up and the economy is going to get worse simply because the crops here in the Midwest are suffering terribly from the lack of rain. So that's something to be expecting in the future. Not much you can do about it. Just be prepared for it and make sure, you know, if you need to save some money now to make those purchases, then you need to be doing that. But I think that can actually work in the favor of the conservatives and in the favor of the Republican Party in this next election, simply because things are going to get worse, and they're not good as they are. Despite the fact that the White House keeps saying they've created all these jobs and whatever, we're not seeing that on any local level as far as here and around the United States. So it's interesting, just some things to be thinking about coming up. So... But yeah, it's like this administration is saying, oh, Romney's not being transparent. He won't release his tax returns. And yet, this Fast and Furious, and I don't know if you know, this is the gun walking that went across the Mexican border. And it was actually a program that was designed supposedly to track the guns and get to the drug runners and blah, 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 blah. Well, these guns weren't being tracked, and they were ending up in the hands of the drug cartels and being used against our Border Patrol. They murdered a Border Patrol agent with guns that our government, our Attorney General, authorized to cross the border, and yet they didn't track them. And yet they're calling on Romney to release more than 2 years of tax returns and acting like it's a big deal that he won't, when it's not just the Fast and Furious. Obama's never released his college records. They're sealed. He won't open them. Occidental College, Harvard College. He won't release his passport that he traveled on back in 1980 when he went to Pakistan. You know, yet Romney has to release, you know, 10 years of his tax forms because he made a lot of money, because he's worked under the capitalist system that America was founded on, and made his way, because he didn't get his money from his father. His father didn't give his money to his kids. They had to earn their own way to get that money. So he worked through the system. Now, maybe we don't always agree with all the tactics that he used, but they were legal tactics. And so he's to be penalized. He's to be put down. He's to be called names because he won't, because he has succeeded in America. Same as Herman Cain, who succeeded in America as a black man in America growing up in the 60s, and yet he's called names by the Jesse Jackson and Al Franken, Al Sharpton, all these supposed black leaders, and he's called names because he dared to associate himself with the Republican Party or the Tea Party. So he's an Oreo. This is one of the things, you know, when it comes to vice presidential picks, I would really like to see, and I know this, some of the conservatives won't like this because I don't know where she stands totally on the social issues, but I think Condoleezza Rice would be one of the best choices that he could actually make for vice president. And I think this for several reasons. And if you have a differing opinion, I'd like to hear it. Or if you have somebody you'd like, you may call it 718-305-7176. But first reason is her foreign policy experience. Right now, we have a very destabilized and very touchy situation in the Middle East. And our status around the world, I mean, the Russians literally, I think, are laughing behind our backs, has deteriorated significantly under this president. And Condoleezza Rice served as Secretary of State, so she is very, very aware of the foreign intricacies that go on in the policies and what needs to be done and what should be done. So I think that's one very good positive about her. Secondly, she is a woman, because, you know, they tried to make this a war on women when Obamacare paying for contraceptives and the Catholic Church, which having to pay for contraceptives, which we all know is a First Amendment violation, because the government cannot be telling the church what it has to do if it's against their religion. And they tried to make it a war on women. So if he picks a woman, that also makes a statement. And the fact that she is a person of color makes a statement, because they also try to paint us as racist, especially the Tea Party fraction, you know, racist and anti-women and blah, 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 which it could not be farther from the truth. But they don't tell the truth. You know, they don't tell the truth. And if we tell the truth, we're called racist. Just like I was watching Bill O'Reilly, I don't know if some of you watched that, and they were talking about the problem in the black communities with 70% of out-of-wedlock births among young black women, and the 40% jobless rate among, you know, teenage black men, and the 15% overall black rate. And yet they're going to vote again for Obama, and strictly based on skin color. But if you or I, as a white person, were to go up and say this in front of them and tell them the truth, we would be called a racist. But the fact is, there's been a terrible degeneration of the family within the black communities. There's no stability there. You've got people who are existing on the welfare system in a vicious cycle. You have the young men going out and joining gangs, and their mothers, you know, any of you have teenage boys now, I kept a pretty firm control on mine, but, you know, they come to a certain age and they're not necessarily going to listen to you. You try to keep them off the streets. And you have these killings and you have these robberies and you have this drugs and violence and this whole culture that goes around, and it all comes back to a breakdown of the family, because you went from, back in the 60s, they had like a 10 or 20% out of wedlock birth rate, and now we're up to 70%. And these are probably young people who are going to be stuck in the system and stuck in the cycle, because who's going to give them a job? Where are they going to get a job? There are no jobs. How are they going to work? So number one is the economy, and we have to create jobs. And that's something we need to do, and that's something we need our president to do. Number two, the government doesn't create jobs. The government interferes with job creation through taxation and regulations and the EPA and just all kinds of nonsense that they intervene and try to control, get their hands in every little pie. Government control. So they don't create jobs. The private sector creates jobs. And by the private sector, we're talking about most likely those making over $200,000 a year, because it's awful hard to go out and start your own business without capital and without funds and without putting some risk on the line for that. And at over 70% of our jobs in this country are from small businesses, and yet the Obama administration wants to tax those small businesses, because small businesses are the ones, you know, maybe 50, 60 employees, but under Obamacare, they're going to have to provide insurance if they're not doing it now. And some of those companies are going to try to lay off people. The one woman was trying to think of a way, maybe she could split her company in two, but you can't, because if you own both parts of the company, then you have to provide the insurance. So she's going to end up having to lay off people or fire or take people to part-time in order to survive as a businesswoman. You know, the government is hurting small businesses by trying to tax them. You know, there's only so much that they're going to give. And I say this to a lot of people, too. You know, if you're wealthy and you're a millionaire even three times over, you can live anywhere you want in the world. You can buy your own island and live on your own island. you know, you don't have to stay here. You don't have to stay here. They're not going to pay those taxes. You know, all you're going to do is drive off the businesses that are creating the jobs. And what do we need here in America? We need jobs. And we need to get our communities back to work, including those in the minority sector. So we need tax reforms that are going to benefit the job creators. And the job creators are those people who have money, because I'm certainly not creating jobs. I don't have the money to go out and buy a business to create jobs, and don't even want to actually go into that, you know, at this point, or take the risk in that. So something we need to really focus on. All right, I'm going to just play a little clip here. This is one of my favorite clips about the liberals and socialism, which eventually leading to the communist entry. This is a clip from Reagan back in, I think this is back in the 60s, actually, and he was giving a speech. So let's see if I can get this clip to
play.
Back in
1927, an American socialist, Norman Thomas, six times candidate for president on the Socialist Party ticket, said the American people would never vote for socialism. But he said under the name of liberalism, the American people will adopt every fragment of the socialist program. There are many ways in which our government has invaded the precincts of private citizens, the method of earning a living. Our government is in business to the extent of owning more than 19,000 businesses covering 47 different lines of activity. This amounts to a fifth of the total industrial capacity of the United States. But at the moment, I'd like to talk about another way, because this threat is with us and at the moment is more imminent. One of the traditional methods of imposing statism or socialism on a people has been by way of medicine. It's very easy to disguise a medical program as a humanitarian project. Most people are a little reluctant to oppose anything that suggests medical care for people who possibly can't afford it. Now, the American people, if you put it to them about socialized medicine and gave them a chance to choose, would unhesitatingly vote against it. We had an example of this under the Truman administration. It was proposed that we have a compulsory health insurance program for all people in the United States, and of course, the American people unhesitatingly rejected this. So, with the American people on record as not wanting socialized medicine, Congressman Farrand introduced the Farrand Bill. This was the idea that all people of Social Security age should be brought under a program of compulsory health insurance. Now, this would not only be our senior citizens, this would be the dependents and those who are disabled. This would be young people if they are dependents of someone eligible for Social Security. Now, Congressman Farrand brought the program out on that idea of just for that particular group of people. But Congressman Farrand was subscribing to this foot-in-the-door philosophy, because he said, if we can only break through and get our foot inside the door, then we can expand the program after that.
Living and dying with the choices I've made.
Foot in the door philosophy, something we talked about at the beginning of this. We were talking about the how they've slowly infiltrated the Gramsci Marxist, neo-Marxist way to get control inside the capitalist countries and turn them into the communist countries. But I'm gonna post this other thing. I was talking about the welfare. Well, I don't think I'll post that now. But anyway, but I find it funny that the news media, you know, wants to make fun of Alan West, and yet, you know, we have a list on record in the congressional record that backs everything he says, you know, about the communist, and actually shows that, you know, McCarthy was right. Deborah Wasserman Schultz, Florida's head of the DNC, everybody knows her, calls Alan West unhinged and McCarthy-esque, you know. Again, because the truth is that he's right, and they don't want people to know that, so they're going to name call, and they're going to try to make him look like he's stupid or he's way out there, like they do with the Tea Party. And that's how they work. They work, Herman Cain used to say, they work that out by they switch the subject or they ignore the facts and they name call. And that's what they're doing. It's really funny watching him try to explain. I was watching the Five and watching Juan Williams try to explain Obama's comments away about how you didn't build that business on your own, that if you have a business, somebody helped you. And and tried to say, oh, that just meant that, you had a teacher or your school, and that he wasn't taking away from the hard work and everything that you achieved, yourself. Everybody has the same chance. We have a public school system where everybody's given the same education. I went to a public school, and, there were kids of all colors there, and everybody was given the same chance to make that education. It's what you did with it when you were there. And he's trying to take that away. He's trying to take that away from all of us and trying to encourage people not to work hard and not, start businesses and to rely on the government, which is not a good thing and not a good situation. So somebody says ignoring the chat room. Not really, just not paying much attention. I don't have my co-host with me tonight, so I'm just here babbling on. And I don't have the big chat open, so I don't know who's all out there. But I am. Let me go ahead and open that and see if what's going on with that, because usually Billy is my chat person, and she's not with me tonight. Let me go here and we'll launch this and see if anybody's out there going on. So, no, not purposely ignoring anybody. And again, I encourage you, if you got something to say, to give me a call and we'll put you on the air and we will discuss anything and everything that you want to talk about today. So, my name is Brenda. And I am Brenda Ward, and I am the host of Women Patriots. So I know I've been gone for a few weeks, and so I think some of the people have missed the show. I was actually vacationing in Canada, so out of the country. Almost wanted to stay there, but I didn't. I came back. So I'm here. I'm willing to fight, and I think we all need to fight for what we know is to be right, and for our country, and for what our founding fathers started. And we need to get back to America and America's foundation. And if you want to be in America and you want to live in America, then you need to come here to be an American. And I say that as a second generation immigrant, as my grandparents were both from, on my mother's side, were both from what we call the old country, Hungary, Czechoslovakia. My mother's a first generation immigrant, legal immigrant, came through Ellis Island. Yes, you do know me from Cain days, because I was a Herman Cain supporter before I actually switched to Santorum, and now I am supporting the candidate simply because of all the reasons we've talked about tonight and many other reasons. And I love this country, and I have many, many children and grandchildren. So I have a Herman Cain shirt too. It's like tune in America, tune out the media. I got that shirt, and what other? I got another shirt, and I don't remember what it says, but it's pretty sad when we're being fed propaganda and it works. It's kind of not a good thing. I never thought I'd live to see the day when America was a total propaganda state. Although, even if you go back, and I have been going back, and you read read the I'm reading some of Thomas Jefferson's notes and things, and he was one that he was really against the papers and the media because they tried to paint him as a man who did not believe in God, and a man that of no faith, and other things that just weren't true about him, because he thought that his faith was a personal thing to him, and it was not something to be outwardly shown, you know, expressed. And he took a lot of flack about that in the newspapers, and so even in his letters he talks about how you couldn't believe what you would read in the papers. But used to be a time when reporting the news was just that. Reporting the news, you would get the truth, the facts, and you could sort them out for yourself. But now most of the news comes through the AP, so it comes through one source. And so it's, you get what they want to tell you, what they're going to tell you. You know, and even on Fox News, I like Fox News, but sometimes there you don't just get the facts. I mean, just give me the facts. We're reasonable people. Tell me the facts. Show me what the president said today. Show me what Romney said today. Let me decide what I think about what they said today. You know, don't be telling me one side or the other and adding your little tidbits in there. You know, don't be reporting things. This happened in the Trayvon Martin case, and it really, to me, it's just disgusting. You know, they had this woman, and this is hearsay, people, because this woman, supposedly he molested her when they were children, and he was racist because she couldn't give specifics, but they just talked very badly about blacks who didn't act white, and this is reported all over the news. So we're just biasing any jury pool that might be selected for this man on the words and hearsay of a woman who we don't even know anything about or her credibility. And to be reporting that stuff in the news, to me, is really appalling, because he's not going to get his fair, and how can you get your fair and unbiased trial when they're doing this kind of thing? And it's really kind of sad. When that happens. So I'm just kind of looking through some of the news. I don't know, who do you think is vice president? I'm kind of favoring Condoleezza Rice just for some of the above mentioned reasons, but I would love an Alan West vice presidency. That man speaks my kind of language, but I doubt that that's going to happen. I don't think he's even mentioned on the short list. So it could be interesting to see what comes out here. Well, it's definitely going to come out by the time of the convention. So, I just hope it's not somebody too conventional. And because Romney really needs something to jazz up his ticket more so than what it is. Something, he's either got to excite the conservative base, or he's got to excite the independent voters and possibly reach across the line to some of the Democratic voters from past elections with his selection of his vice president. So it's going to be kind of interesting to see, but I really think it needs to be somebody who has some foreign policy experience. From that, but yes, I love me some Herman Cain, and from there I went to Rick Santorum, and now I think we're just going to be, Conservative Nation Radio is going to be having some talks, and I think we're going to see about what direction we're going to take this in, because we all, we have shows here on Tuesdays. I think they're going to be starting their Monday shows back up pretty soon once school gets started. Our young adult shows, we have our New Abomination, which is on Thursday evenings, I believe, at 7 Central, perhaps. And then we have Red, Bright, and Blue, which is on Saturdays. And we have Soldiers of Patriotism, which is on Sundays. You're on Conservative Nation Radio. A lot of good radio shows out there across the nation. and a lot of people talking. And this is what we got to do, because they're not going to make our voices heard in the mainstream media. Then we need to make it heard through Twitter and Facebook and wherever you need to go. You just need to get out there, and we need to make our voices heard. And you need to encourage your fellow family, anybody, to get out and vote. This election is so important. Even Rick Santorum, you know, would talk about how important this election was. So, Ted Nugent for president, yeah. That would be quite interesting, would it not? I don't know about that. I mean, not a whole lot of diplomacy going on like that, but that would definitely make for some interesting conversations. So, I don't know. I don't know who's going to pick. And I just, like I said, I hope it's somebody not too low-key, because that won't be as good for the campaign. But it will be interesting. And then also we have more hypocrisy. The reports show that Obama took donations from Bain executives, and yet he's going after Romney on Bain. Can we have somebody more hypocritical? I don't know. That's a good question. As you know, on anybody who's listens to Women Patriots, I'm more of a country kind of girl, and so I have a lot of country songs on, but, you know, not much of the rock and roll stuff going on. I know Billy does do that stuff, so. I am, in fact, saying that I'm going to play another one by Toby Keith.
American girls and American guys, we'll always stand up and salute. We'll always recognize when we see old glory flying. There's a lot of men dead, so we can sleep in peace at night when we lay down our heads. My daddy served in the army. We lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard till the day that he died. He wanted my mother, my brother, my sister, and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free. Now this nation that I love is falling under attack. A mighty sucker punch came flying in from somewhere in the back. Soon as we could see clearly through our big black eye, man, we lit up your world like the 4th of July. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist. And an eagle will fly, and it's gonna be here. When you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell, and it'll feel like the whole wide world is raining down on you. I brought to you courtesy of the red, white, and blue. Dog will fight when you rattle his cage. You'll be sorry that you mess with the U.S. of A. 'Cause we'll put a boot in your ass. It's the American way. Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And a Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist. And the eagle will fly, and it's gonna be hell when you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell. And it'll feel like the whole wide world is raining down on you. Courtesy of the red, white, and blue. Oh, 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 of the red, white, and blue. Oh, 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 of my red, white, and blue.
Yep, you can say that. It's like Toby Keith, nothing better than some patriotic songs to kind of get your blood flowing. You know, that was something he wrote certainly after 9/11. And they actually had that written on some of their bombs when they went into Iraq. But I was just cruising here, and here's another report out by the Associated Press that 2 million jobs will be lost if automatic cuts kick in. And this is talking about where they couldn't find a way to cut $1.2 trillion over 10 years. And yet, as I cited earlier, we're paying $517 billion for illegal immigrants in this country a year. So, let's just cut that. And then, we have, what do you have in 5 years? You have 2.5. Oh, I tell you, it's just amazing how ridiculous it is in Washington and how broken things are coming. But this is another report out, and there's been several reports out that if they don't act, that could be some major decline in the U.S. economy. And this just shows more of how either our president is either trying to destroy this country or has no clue what he's doing. And either way, I think he needs to get out, and we need to get him out any way we can. And that includes voting for whoever we can get to replace President Obama. And like I said, at the beginning of the show or in the middle of the show, I don't even remember. You have to forgive me. I'm a little jet lagged yet from our trip. And and I lost my train of thoughts there, though. This is just not the time to be making your stand that, you know, because you didn't get your candidate and you wanted the very, very conservative ones. And I did, too. I'm a pro-life voter, have been since I was 17 years old. I vote pro-life. That's my really one area that I will not give on. So that's what I vote on. And I have to go on the fact that I know for a fact that President Obama is for infanticide. I mean, he voted for this in Illinois, not just for abortions, but he has. The first thing he did first day in office was sign to give money so they can abort babies overseas. And yes, I know Romney was pro-choice, but he says he's changed, so I have to take him at his word. And he's running on the Republican platform, which will include that pro-life cause. And so I am voting for him on his word on that, and knowing that, you know, he's better than an outright baby killer. And this is what my dad said today. It's kind of funny because my dad's 75, but he's like, you know, the man we got in there now is an outright baby killer. So, you know, it's not going to be worse if you vote for Romney. Because if you vote third party, you know they're not going to win. They're not going to do it. It's not going to happen. And it's not the time to do that. Just not the. I think what we need to do is we need to organize so that in 2014, we can have that third party, that Tea Party, that conservative party coming in like in the off-year elections. And we need to work for the 2000. Well, it depends on the outcome of this one, obviously, what we're going to be doing in 2016. But we need to work together. And this is part of the problem. With the Democratic Party, you see, they get everybody to toe the party line. And they get all the followers and everybody thinks it's a collective unit. And they indoctrinate them to the... You know, they're like zombies and they're all thinking the same thing. Whereas on the Republican side of the party, you have all of us independent thinkers, because even though we were following Herman Cain, a lot of us were from different aspects of the party, you know, whether it's Tea Party or conservative, social conservatives or fiscal conservatives. And we all think in our own different way. And this is why we ended up with Mitt Romney, because we couldn't narrow our collective conservative again behind one candidate to actually beat him, you know. And it was it kind of hurts us in the election process, but by the same token, we are independent thinkers and we do think for ourselves and we are informed citizens. You know, we're not being led around like sheep. And and I wish more people would be informed, because it would be a whole lot better for the country if people were informed. And some people don't understand the importance of the Constitution or what that document actually stands for, and that's why they don't care. They don't care, you know, there's the Obama, whether he's a citizen or not, they don't care because they don't really understand the importance of the Constitution and the undermining of the Constitution that's been going on. This is the document that our country is founded on, and this is what makes America unique when compared to the rest of the world, is our Constitution that was written by our founding fathers. And it was written, and the majority of our founding fathers, whether people want to admit it or not, were Judeo-Christians. They practiced some kind of form of belief. There were a couple of them that may have been deists, but they still had a belief in a higher power and a higher God, and Thomas Jefferson is one of those. You know, he did believe in God. You know, maybe not the miraculous, but anyway, not the miracles of Jesus, but he did believe that we should all live as Jesus lived, that he was a great moral example, and they believed in morality and in values, morality and values, and whether you want to make those into the spiritual connection or not, you know, morality and values, when you go back and look at all of our founding fathers, they all talk about that and how the Constitution was written for the moral people and for people with values, and to undermine this document and to take away the morality is to undermine the whole entire country and what it was founded on and what it was intended to do and what the direction that, you know, our founding fathers wanted to take us. And it's interesting because one of them even said the two-party system would be a disaster for us. And it has been because it's such a polarized unit because, you know, we've got the extreme on the right and the extreme on the left and nobody wants to give an inch. And it has polarized the whole country. Our whole country is actually polarized. Instead of being all working for the good of America and Americans, we're polarized on these issues. But again, this was going on in even Thomas Jefferson in his letters. He talks about this, how the infighting was going on between the men who were trying to work out the Constitution and the wording. And originally, he wanted to have in there all men being free, including the slaves, but that didn't fly very well with several of this. I think three of the 13 states that at that point were heavily reliant on the slaves, and in order to maintain the peace of the time, you know, they left that out. But it doesn't mean that some of our founding fathers did not believe in slavery. It just means that they were trying to work for the good of what was then the young republic, coming out against the great Britain and their force and their power in the world. So you can learn an awful lot when you go back and you look at the founding fathers and read through their various thoughts and records and recollections. And we need to use those as a base, you know, and as a reference. And the Supreme Court didn't do this in several of their recent cases, and it really is kind of discouraging to see that didn't happen in these cases, that they didn't actually look at the intent of the forefathers and instead make up of their own little rules as they go, because I'm pretty sure that legislating from the bench was not included in that, changing the laws. They're just supposed to rule whether it's constitutional or not. But no. It's a tax, so it's constitutional, which is not how it was written. And that was very discouraging and undermining of our Constitution, as far as I'm concerned, or even with the other female judge, I can't remember her name now, telling Africa they didn't want to base their constitution after ours, and yet we're the greatest country in the world, and we still are, even at this point. And so why wouldn't you want to base your constitution after ours? Again, that's a slow infiltration and undermining of the founding fathers and of what our country was actually built for and on. And it's pretty pretty sad to see that it's happening, and it's happening now. So, and we got the Olympics coming up soon in London. So I don't know if anybody's going to be getting to go to that. Won't be me. Although I would love to go to London someday. It didn't start out so well. I guess they had like a 4-hour traffic jam because they had an accident, and they've got cabbies protesting Olympic lanes because apparently they put off several lanes just for the Olympic use, and the London cabbies didn't like that. So it's not, you know, and this is even before the games begin, so we'll have to see. Hopefully things will settle in, and these are just pre-game glitches that happen a lot of times in many different places. I do love my Summer Olympics. I like to see the gymnasts and running sports and different things of that sort. So those are coming up soon. Great way to support your country. And the other controversy, Harry Reid up there is talking about the suits that they're wearing in the opening ceremony. The Americans are made in China, and how that's just awful. It's like, has he even looked on the shelves in the clothing departments in the United States? Because it's like everything is made in China, you know. It's like, oh, it's just crazy. Just craziness in the extreme. But it would have been nice if they would have looked as for an American. Simmons can go. And neither can I. I can't go either. It'd be nice. But so that was just kind of an interesting side bit there, but I thought it was kind of funny. Harry Reid's talking about, oh, they should be blah, 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 blah. And it's like, really? Really? That, you know, we have nothing more to be concerned about, and everything on the shelf. Have you been to the store lately? You know, it's in Pakistan or India or China. Very rarely do you find clothes that are made in the United States. They're just not out there. Just kind of one of those silly things when we've got a $16 trillion deficit and no budget passed in 3 years, and they're out there worrying about what they're wearing to the Olympics. Just mind-boggling where their thoughts come from, you know. Would I have preferred that they were made in the USA? Yes. Could they probably have found somewhere to have them made in? Yes. You know, but oh well, you know, it wasn't, and they didn't, and you know, what are you going to do about it? Not a whole lot, I would say. So I think some of those things are just made to be distractions. I don't know. It's kind of interesting. But we got job creation and growth slowing in China, court brawls in Egypt. Just all kinds of craziness going on, clashes in Damascus, Israel perhaps getting ready to strike Iran. Wow, Israel was plunged toward a political crisis today after the largest party in the government quit, leaving Prime Minister Netanyahu in charge of a hardline coalition opposed to most Middle East peace moves. Great. So we've got some crazy stuff going on overseas and craziness going on here in the United States. And I hope it doesn't come to it, but, you know, I think that this administration would like nothing more than to have us in a civil war and in a clash between a racial war in this country. So it's just crazy. And they can't find places to cut. And yet, you know, how many staffers does each politician have? And I cut the EPA. Let's get rid of that. Let's get rid of the Department of Education. I bet how many millions and trillions and billions of dollars is that going to save just to cut those? You know, we don't need all those people in the government. We need to get rid of some of them, you know, be efficient, streamline. This is why we like Herman Cain, because he would have streamlined, you know, very well. He could look at them numbers and boom, we'd have a streamlined government and a lot of waste gone out the door and be back on track. You know, get rid of this payment for vote stuff that goes on in Washington. You know, you vote for my bill, and I'll vote for your bill, and blah, 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 blah. This is a bunch of nonsense that's just going on in Washington that needs to go away. And the way it goes away is when we elect new congressmen, new senators, new representatives. You know, even if we don't get the presidency, if we get control in the House and the Senate with our conservative Tea Party favorites or conservative policymakers, you know, that's where the policies are supposed to be made. Again, talking about unconstitutional, this president is way outside of his bounds. And there's nothing we can do about it. Nothing we can do about it if the Senate won't prosecute. And we know very well they won't because of Harry Reid. And it's very frustrating, but we've only got a few more months to go until voting day. And I'm going to encourage everybody to get out and vote for our country and vote out. Vote out this current president and an all-woman cabinet, which would probably be better because I think we could do better, at least Republican women. some rational women, because we look at people like Pelosi and some of the and Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and they make no sense. And it's like, you're not making any sense. What you're saying is just crazy. It doesn't even make sense to me. So I know I've just been rambling on, but, you know, when I have to basically talk to myself, that's what I do. I just kind of ramble from one thing to another. Looky, Katie Holmes was hit by a garbage truck. Let's check that out. How do you get hit by a garbage truck? I don't know. Oh, it was in a car. Okay. Well, see, I love those headlines. You see how they bring you in like that. It's like, oh, she's hit by a garbage truck. Well, her car was hit by a garbage truck. It's a whole different story. Not even the same story. So yeah, that's what they'll do to you every time. And then try to, some people go by the headline and they don't read the story. And then you have total misinformation because they just read the headline instead of the story behind it. So media manipulations. But anyway, it's been nice, and I'm glad you tuned in. If you tuned in tonight to listen to me ramble on and show us your concern for this country, and we just need to really make sure we get out to vote this November and get out for the Tea Party favorites in the where they're running in the various states for the Senate and the Congress, and let's get President Obama out of office and this country back on track. Going to take us off with a little Journey song. We'll be right back. good night.